not something you have. Say, I think there were times that you 30, 40, 50 times a day. One of the things we say inside is Umashi Shagisik Varimidani Ala Emes, which is a chiyuv. In other words, it sounds like the mistakes that you made, Varimidani Ala Emes, I've corrected my mistakes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I ask you for Siyata Deshmaya in my learning. But the only way we have a right is to say Umashi Shagisik Varimidani Ala Emes. So that means there's a responsibility if we make mistakes in learning, which is only normal, and it's part of growing, we have to rectify the mistakes. So I've been collecting a couple of errors that I made in Shir. So one error I made was, I realized this, all of a sudden I had a faraway look on Friday afternoon, sitting and eating lunch with my family. My wife said, "What are you thinking about?" I said, "I realized I made a mistake." What I had said in Tosfos on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, that I had told you that in Shulchan Aruch we passed, which was connected to the issues that Naftali and Avi were stopping me in Tosfos, I had said incorrectly that in Shulchan Aruch we passed that the case in which you make a Shavuos Esses is a case of Karka. That was not accurate or correct. The case of Shuas Hesses, where you make a Shuas Hesses, includes the case of Karka. Not only in a case of where you have the Svarish Tamute, even in a case where you don't have the Svarish Tamute. So I have to correct that, and that also relates to the Afilu and Tosis and so on and so forth. So if you remember at the time, I said that in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in this way. So that's true, but I insinuated that was the only case you make a Shuas Hesses, and that's not correct. That's number one. Number two is that yesterday we had, in Leini Chabura, and the day before, we had gone through the Baal HaMor's question and the Ramban's Teretz. And I realized I did not explain the Baal HaMor's Kasha properly. The truth was, I didn't even want to get involved with the Baal HaMor, but I wanted you to do the whole Ramban. So I didn't work well enough on the Baal HaMor, and therefore I erred in the Pshat and what the Baal HaMor is asking. So Mir Tzashem, tomorrow we're going to work on that Kasha and Teretz. So right now, if it's not clear to you, and this, by the way, I think testifies tremendously to the Talmidim, is that Dafka, after I made that mistake, some of the Talmidim said, "We didn't understand. Could you do Leini Chabur on it?" So I came from a place because of what I had said, I think was incorrect. So therefore, you could put on the side that kasha. Everybody knows what I'm referring to, the kasha that we had in the Ramban. So what we gave, the Ramban's teretz, both the kasha and the teretz were not correct. In other words, the ikah de kasha lay, and that teretz is not correct. And Amir Tzashem, tomorrow we'll have, probably Rav Yol will do Leini Chabur on it, and then we'll decide if we need to have Shir on it as well. But we're going to, tomorrow on the Maariv Mekomos, we'll have the Melchamos and the Baal HaMor. We're going to pick up today from Benishon Mei Rabbeinu Haigon. We already started doing that on Tuesday. Let's pick up Bezer Hashem with that. Says around a lot of exciting things for today, Bezer Hashem. Says around Ban, Benishon Mei Rabbeinu Haigon. It was asked the Rabbeinu Haigon after the Ramban just got through saying, this we, Bezer Hashem, got correct. After the Ramban just got through saying that you're not allowed to be toe-faced even though you know that somebody owes you money. So Rav Haigon was asked, when can you be toe-faced, when can't you be toe-faced? Mi sheyesh lo biyad chaveru pikadon usumas yad v'gaza. If someone has, Reuven has, some things of Shimon, im yachol etosav lishav alav lomar ein lecha biyadi klum. Is Shimon allowed to go and grab it back from Reuven and say, I didn't do anything wrong? Veheshiv. And Rav Haigon answered, Veheshiv Achin, Chazina, Di'i Milvahu, if it's a Milvah, Lav Mi Ovidino Lenav Shehu. It doesn't fall, some people got stuck on this line. It doesn't fall into the category of Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe. What does that mean? What that means is the Gemara in Bava Kama has a machlokas whether we say Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe or not. We have a machlokas in Bava Kama. That means, can I take the law into my own hands? So says Rav Haigon, if it's a milveh, it's not totally in that shaila of Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe. That is a very, very important line. What does that mean? What does that mean? What's he saying? Chushbana Balma de Kachashiv. How do you read that? Yes, Izzy?
Just like a calculation.
Right. That's a translation. What does he mean by that? You're not sure. Yisrael? Why? In other words, you're allowed to say, wait a second, I owed you $100, you owed me $100, it's even, and therefore I'm allowed to be tofes. Why are you allowed to do that? Yes, David?
That's how the whole thing is. That's like a general judgment that people would make.
We're, even though the word oilam is a yeshivish word, we're really not interested in what the oilam thinks. We're interested in what the Torah thinks. So what does the Torah think? So we're explaining words of Torah. What does the Torah think? Yes, Yonatan?
He's being Keshbon, it's not actually stealing it. Therefore, he's letting his Lodiko do it.
Okay, let me ask you a follow-up question. What you're saying is not enough. The reason what you're saying is not enough is because in a moment, the Rabban is going to say that Pikadon is different. Pikadon in a moment he's going to say is different. So if he's going to say that Pikadon is different, so what, you're making a Cheshbon? Follow? You're on the right track, Yonatan. You just need to finish off. You're a good ball player, no? You're in the paint. You just have to. You got to finish off the layup correctly. Yeah, Moshe.
That's how like halva works. We figure out
halva. You're using the wrong word, Avram.
No, I was going to say. Just the calculating, this is money, so it's just...
That's the answer. When it comes to money, so then that's just a cheshbon ba'am. I think that's what the Ramban's saying. When it comes to money, so what is money a chefetz? Similar to the ideal in milvalo tzan nitna. Money is not a chefetz. It's not going to be like a pikadun that the Ramban is going to go on to differentiate between. Okay? So that's what the Ramban is saying over here. It's just a cheshbon ba'alma. V'tanya b'tosefta, and he claims this point is mefurshin tosefta. Now Rav Yoel and I got really stuck in how to read these lines, and I was excited to see Rav Yoel because I thought I had finally figured it out, and then Rav Yoel told me that that's what the Ramban says in the Melchamos, but I decided not to touch. I haven't learned the Baal Mor and the Melchamos. Baal Mor and Melchamos are really, really, really hard. And this, I started learning it, but I don't feel like I know it. And I told Rav Yoel I wasn't interested yet in seeing the Melchamos. Rav Yoel told me that the way I said it is what the Melchamos says. So let's take a look at how he explains it. B'tosefta. V'tanya b'tosefta behedya. Manali b'yodcha v'alo omer ein lecha b'yodi. Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me money. He denies it. So those are classic cases that I'm believed if I deny. Or if I say back to you, you're right, I owe you $100, but you owe me $100 because of the payros. Even though you say back to me, so you're right, the fruits you owe me. But I don't owe you anything. We don't listen to him. So the halachi is that you're going to be potter. So any time there's a case of money, you bought the money, you bought the ksus, and I say, you're right, but you owed me $100. So then in such a case, I can say chushbana ba'alma, and even though I admit that I am chayiv to you that money because I had bought from you a mana, but the reason why I'm not going to pay you back is because you owed me an even amount. That's chushbana, and the halach is your potter. Aval, so he quotes a Tosefta, that's his riot. That's a Tosefta in Shuas. Aval, impi kodon, yesh lechaveiro biyado, shechayiv lachzira lo beinei. But if it's a pikadon, it's not a business deal that related to a money or ksus or kelim. Havadai damiu ladina David in ishdin l'nafshe. Then it's totally in the machlokis. If you hold David in ishdin l'nafshe, then the halach is that you're going to be able to grab. And if you hold lo David in ishdin l'nafshe, so then in such a case you're not going to be able to grab. V'hachin chazina the islay l'mitvisa l'pikadon. Okay, period. Now that's actually the most important thrust of Rav Haigon. A middle of a three-volume biography on the Vilna Gaon, they say something amazing. First of all, Haigon was referred to from the Gaonim as the Gaon. There they're talking about the Vilna Gaon in his time was not referred to as the Vilna Gaon, it was referred to this day. When someone says the Gaon, who are they talking about? No longer Haigon, they're referred to. Is referring to the Gaon. So their theory is that there were Gaonim and then there was the Gaon. The Gaon was in a league by himself, which is true, it's the Vilna Gaon. So then they add this amazing chat. They say the same thing happened to Rav Haigon 1,000 years ago. In the time of the Gaonim, there was Rav Shrira Gaon, there were many Gaonim, and then there was the Gaon. And the Gaon was Rav Haigon, which is important for us to emphasize. That's why the Ramban is emphasizing Rav Haigon. The Hasidish part of the Litvish story is they say that the Talmidei Hagra found the Tosefta that was amended by Rav Haigon. There were Genizos that we know which Gaonim, the Rambam, we have the Rambam's writing by hand. And they say, and it's well known, that the Vilna Gaon amended also Tosefta. We have. If you turn to the back of our Gemara, we have the Tosefta that's amended by the Gaon. And they said that all of the changes that the Vilna Gaon made were the exact same changes that Rav Haigon made. That's what the Talmidim of the Gra claim. Why am I telling you this now? Because Rav Haigon, just like when the Gaon says something today for the Mishnah Brura, that's critical. So too for the Ramban, where Rav Haigon says it, that's gospel. That's the significance of this. So everybody has a chiluk pikadon versus mammon. So far, so good. Josh,
within mammon, what would stop anyone from like lying? Just saying, I only took it from you. Like basically, I only took it from you because you owed me in the first place. Like anyone can just say that they'd be plotters.
In other words, how are we going to prevent somebody from coming along and being tofes something that belongs to somebody else? Good question. We have to get back to it. The truth is, this question really gets back into the question of Avadin Ishdil and Akshay in general. But Enoch, I'm way before this. I'm not even ready for the Balamor and the Molchamos. Kal v'chomer, I'm not ready to deal with the clothing stick of picture yet. Yes, Avram.
Just clarification. That's just a phrase for
which,
like being a.
It's a Beferish Gemara. In Bovakan. Exactly. Again, let me repeat that because that's important. There's a Beferish Gemara in Bava Kama that has two opinions amongst the Amoraim whether Ovid in Ishdil and Afshin. The Rav Haigon is saying, even if you hold E of it in Ishdil and Afshin, nevertheless, by Mammon it's going to be okay. Pikadon is going to be Talui in Ovid in Ishdil and Afshin. Now, I did not see this question in the standard Svarim, and I'm bothered by it, but I finally was happy to see the Sefer Ol Torah, that's the Yeshivish Sefer, that's a beautiful Malakit from Ar Elchanan, Yeshivas Ar Elchanan. There, they ask the obvious question, they don't quote from any of the Achronim, and that is, Me'ikar Dedina, we paskin Oven in each deal and action. So how could Rav Haigon come out and seem to say that Pikadon it's Asur because we pass in Havin in Ishdila Nafshe. So that becomes a very, very, that's a simon in Shulchan Aruch. When do we say Havin in Ishdila Nafshe? When don't we say Havin in Ishdila Nafshe? There's a part of me that wants to get to the bottom of this too, Josh. But for right now, for sure, for our purposes right now, we're just trying to understand the Shita or Haigon. But write down, and it's a surprise, I haven't seen earlier sources ask this question. The Sefer Ol Torah asks this question at the end of the day. Rav Haigon seems to be assuming that you can't be Avin Yishin and Afshe, because he seems to come out that by Pikadon you can't do it, but by Mamon you can. Okay, that's an interesting question.
Does that mean he's going to go away?
That's what his question is. I'm putting it on the side.
No, I'm saying, is it only when there is a Manali Yadcha
and you're good, or can you even do without the Manali? But you could say, and that's a response to Josh's question, that it's only if there was a case of Manali Yadcha as it is.
Right? Question,
in a phenomenon. Let's continue on. V'hachin chazina. The Islam the mitzvah the pikadon. There's one exception when you could be tovis and pikadon. Amad the islay vikad us lebedina va'amer lo milsa b'tzurasa. But what happens, says the Rav Haigon, not a case in which you lie about the pikadon, but you say yes, I have your pikadon. But there's a reason why I'm not returning it back to you. The reason why I'm not returning the pikadon to you is because you owe me from a previous business deal. So the Rav Haigon just qualifies and says, what I'm not assuring is a case where a person admits. If I admit and I say, yes, the pikadon is mine, the pikadon was originally yours, but I'm holding on to it, and I'm going to make it mine because you owe me other monies, that's different than what we've been discussing in the sugya. Why is it different? Because in our sugya, chashina milvi yishana yesh la'alav was in a case where I lie and I say, it's my talis. I know it might not be my talis. No, but there was a milvi yishana. If you all pointed out, not milvi yishana, not a sleeping milva. Milvi yishana. That it's a milva yishana, there's an old milva, so then in such a case, then when it comes to a milva yishana, so there it's appropriate for Purim Skit, because Rama says, Yotza Adol Yada, when you fall asleep. So milva yishana, so then, therefore, if it's a milva yishana or a milva yishana, so then in such a case, the halacha would be that you're even being able to deny the whole thing. However, when it comes to pikadon, you can't. You have to admit. But, says the Ramban, if you're open, so then you might win. Then you might be allowed to say, I'm not returning it to you because you owe me, and I could have lied, I have a migu. In such a case, then he might win, says Rav Haigon. That's the case of the milva yishana and the chiluk between pikadon and milva lefi Rav Haigon. The Ramban adds one more thing, but we'll leave aside the Tosefta, because the Tosefta is not our topic. Says the Ritva, continuing on the Shita Mekubetzes, it's not a coincidence that after he quotes Rav Haigon, the Shita then quotes the Ritva. V'zeh loshen ha-Ritva, iyachi nishko v'lo shvua, pirush, shim yesh lo kenegdo klom, kedin hu notlo, shenaseh ketofes bo. Says the Ritva, if I was tofes the talis because you owe me money, kedin hu notlo, then that's appropriate. Shenaseh ketofes bo. It's no different than when I'm tofes money that you owe me. The Lashon wanted to tell me to ask me, what does it mean, ketofes? Because there are times that I'm allowed to be tofes. Talk for coin, we're going to discuss. There are times I'm allowed to be tofes. So what happens if I hold on to the talis, where there is a vadai milva yishana, chashinan vadai milva yishana love? So then I'm allowed to be tofes, says the Ritva. Umidelo parchinon. Da'akati kinishbash yishalo b'shikra mishtabeya. And the Ritva makes a diuk that we've been dancing around the whole time that really is the basis of everything Rav Haigon is saying, and that is the fact that the Gemara does not follow up by Chashinon Milva Yeshana, not Safek. Safek, how could you make a Shvua? But Milva Yeshana, the Gemara says, no problem. Asks the Ritva, wait a second, there is a problem. What's the problem going to be? The problem is what? You're lying in your Shvua. What's your Shvua? Kula Shali? You're a liar. Now Rav Haigon never really addressed this, did he? Did Rav Haigon ever address this? All he discussed is whether you're guilty of Avad Inish Dina L'Navsheh, which is a machlokas in the Mar, whether that's guilt or not. But he said, that's not called Avad Inish Dina L'Navsheh when it comes to Milva. The Shvua Sheboy, correct me if I'm wrong, scream out to me if I'm wrong. The Shvua Sheboy, Rav Haigon never addressed. The Ramban did address. The Ramban said, "Vahevi yodeya, the ma'id omer abaye chashin shem asafik lo sheyed rishus biyad adam litkov vitals chavero mishum milva vili shava shalihi." The Ramban said, "You can't be tovis and swear." Rav Haigon didn't even get involved with the shua shebo. The Ramban said both are aser. Rav Haigon said the Tfisa is aser. So far, so good? Says the Ritva, not only is the Tfisa problematic, possibly, not only is the Tfisa, start the other negative, not only is the Tfisa not problematic, but the Shvua is also not problematic. Again, the fact that we don't consider her a liar. Rabosai, why is he a liar? Let's just make sure we have pshat. Why is he a liar? What? Because he says Kula Shali, then he picked up the stalus. He knows it's not Kula Shalo. What's his rationalization? It's a Milva Yeshana. He's lying in the words of Yeshua. Our only problem was when he himself is not sure about the Milva Yeshana. But if he's sure, it's not a problem. Klomar Shalokin did. If it's a Suffolk, then it's a problem. But if it's not a Suffolk, it's not a problem. Almo Kitavis Bivade Milva Kedin Mishtabeya. Then it's Kedin Vizedin Borur. And that is obviously correct. Rabosai. Would the Ritva be characterized as the same shita as Rav Haigon? Not necessarily. Lav Dafka is the Ritva the same shita as Rav Haigon. Why? As we pointed out, Rav Haigon just addressed the Tfisa. He said holding on to it is not a problem. The Ritva now goes a step further. And the Ritva says, and the Shvua is not a problem. But Rabbeisai, he's making a Shvua Sheker. How can it be that's not a problem? How do you read the Ritva? Vada. Safek, he says, is good for the Torah asks. So Vada.
So he's not going to lie.
What's that?
Vada won't lie.
But he's lying. He says, Kula Shali, Ani Mitzasiya. There's no suggestion that he didn't say, Ani Mitzasiya, the Kula Shali. What's the beginning of Tractate Bava Mitzia say, right? Zelmer Ani Mitzasiya, the Kula. So Luchura, the Ritva is telling us the following yisod. The Ritva is telling us that just like, and this is the way I would like to learn pshat, you tell me, you work on it, tell me if I'm right or wrong. Just like I'm allowed to say chushbona in regards to tfisa, I'm allowed to say chushbona on the shvua. In other words, if I'm truly entitled to it, it's not called a Shvuah Sheker. Now, the Ritva doesn't say beferish whether I should say Amim Mitzasiyah my Shvuah, but I'm allowed to say Kula Shali, even though I'll be Halacha, leaving even aside the words of the opening tractate, the opening Daf and Bav Metzia. Even if we're not going to focus on the Amim Mitzasiyah, but the Kula Shali is also not true. It's not Kula Shalcha. The answer is, it's Kula Shali because of the Chushbana. Because of the Chushbana, that this guy who's holding on to the other edge of the talus owes me money, then that's enough. That's enough. Oh. V'u'adin omar Moria Ramban, im yesh l'chaver etzlo v'yesh lo etzlo chaver v'kofer lo bo. What happens if we're fighting over monies? Yachol ayil farish davar v'lo mashu tofes b'seh b'shvil chovo. Number one, I could say the reason I'm holding on to it is because I'm entitled to the money because you owe me the money. Miu, but not only that, I could lie. Miu im choshesh lahodos mei b'davar mei zetam. If I'm afraid that by incriminating myself and saying in chatfi, oh, I'm opening up Pandora's box here. If I say in chatfi, so I won't. I won't say in chatfi. I'll say it's mine. Yochalu limcho lechaveiro mimashi yesho etzel tachazeh. What that means is the following. I'm allowed to say, you know what? I say to myself, the money that he owes me, I'm being mochel, and the money that he owes me, I'm going to take in this object, v'yishovad, I'm going to make a shvua, sheparo kvar, I'm going to lie. I'm going to say, yeah, he owes me money, and I owe him money? That's what you say? I say, I don't owe him any money. I'm going to lie. So what do we do? Let's spell out the case. Avi has something of mine. We made a business deal. Avi owes me $100. I sold him a watch. I also owed Avi $100. A separate loan. I'll be mochel Avi on the business deal, and I'll lie that I paid him back. Make a shvua on it. Halacha is okay. I'm allowed to do it. Why? It's all based on what Rav Haigon already said. It's not considered ovid inish dila namshe if it's a chushbana ba'alma. And where do we see it? We see it from our Gemara. Because in our Gemara, we allow me to make a Shvuah Kula Shali, even though I know that that talus is not Kula Shali. But why do I know it is Kula Shali? Why am I able to lie about Kula Shali? Because he owes me the same amount in the talus. Let's say if it's, make it easier, the two tovsin. Shimon owes me the other half, that exact amount of money. $100 sweatshirt, he owes me 50 of it. Perfect. So I'm going to say Kula Shali. Or I know he owes me 50. I know he owes me 50, and I know when I say Kula Shali, he says Kula Shali, we'll end up dividing it. Either way, however we're going to explain, we're going to work out the monies, that's always been confusing me. But either way, at the end of the day, it's my recourse of getting back that money, the halacha is that's mutter, it's not even in the category of Ovid Inish Dila Nafsha. What the Ma'ariv Katz does after the Ritva is he puts it back into Rashi. Puts it back into Rashi. I'm sorry, Chevra, I'm not taking your questions yet, but I want to accomplish something this week, okay? So let's keep on moving, and then I'll be here after... Ooh, there's Hamer today, so I have to go down to that. So Mir Tashem, I'll be here tonight, late, after 10-minute Musar, if you want to speak with me in learning. So we'll speak in learning then, okay? V'zeh loshen Ma'ari Katz. Says the Shita, Shema milvi yishani yesh lo alav. Pirish ha-kontris, v'chi mishtabeya dechetz yoshali, shapir kamishtabeya. What's he lifting from Rashi? What's he referring to in Rashi? Pirush HaKonshus. He's referring to the exact words we stopped at yesterday in Leini Chabura. Let's pick up and read the whole Rashi again slowly. Ela Chayshinan Shel Mamilva Yishana Yeshola. Halfway through Abba Yoma. Ela Chayshinan Shel Mamilva Yishana Yeshola Valzeh. Umakir Bo Shishitcha. I know, only if I know, right? Not Suffolk, but I know. That you forgot about, you Avi forgot about, the Yichvar Bo. And you're going to deny that I owe you money. In Rashi, it sounds like I went over to Avi's talis and I grabbed it. And I'm going to swear to get half of it. In other words, I know, you remember I had a suffix before what the numbers are? Now that I'm reading Rashi again, I don't have any suffix what the numbers are. I owe Avi 50, Avi owes me 50 bucks. According to Rashi, it seems that I go over to Avi and I grab his talis. And then I make a shvua, the talis was worth 100, then I'm entitled to the 50. Now here, the Marie Katz is going to read Rashi, not like Josh's backtrack. He's going to read Rashi the first way Josh read Rashi. V'talizo shalom. And this talis of Avi's is mine. Shalom meaning the one who is tal-face. Da'afilu klima da'al-kaspe shibidle. Because if Avi owes me money, then his sweatshirt is also meshubit to me. His sweatshirt is also meshubit to me. So says the Marie Katz. Now, I'll give you an alternative reading in Rashi that some of the Talmidim have suggested afterwards, but I think the Maskana is going to be the way I just read it. Says the Marie Katz, Pirush HaKuntris, B'chim Ishtabeya Dechetz Yeshali, Shapir Kam Ishtabeya. I'm allowed to make the Shvua. In other words, Raviola pointed out sharply, just a more subtle reading of Rashi. When Rashi says, V'talizo Shalom, the Marie Katz understands, V'talizo Shalom, the reason why you can make a Shvua is because the talis is, it is mine. I am entitled to it. Because Meshuvah to me. Here, Josh, here, Rav Yol Zahar. V'talizo shalom in the Oz V'hadar Dafyomi Gemaris, they put in commas. Some of the guys used to have commas. I'm glad that they took it out. But in Dafyomi Gemaris, they put in commas, and they put a comma. Where they put the comma? V'nishbash yeshlo bo d'mei chetzio. And now Rashi is explaining, how can you make a shvua? V'talizo shalom, the reason why I can make such a shvua, I'm not considered a liar, because it's meshubed. Oh, in Kainim Advarim, so now it's not just stam, that there's a cheshbon. It's not that there's a cheshbon. It's really mine. In other words, we could add to what we said b'das haritva, that your talis is meshubed, and for that reason it's mutter. Kedim mishtabeya, because it's mamish mine. I'm entitled to the talis. It's meshubit. Now, the Ramban didn't say this. The Ritva didn't say this. The Marie Katz says it b'das Rashi. And if you read Rashi that way, so then there's a deeper answer to the question, how could I say that the talis is mine? The answer is because the talis is meshubit to me. But at the end of the day, I say kulashali, and I only end up getting half. That's a little bit of a problem. It seems to me at the end of the day, Chazal is going to say, I have raised from this in other cases, that it seems to me that at the end of the day, that if that there are times that's not considered shuah sheker. If I know the way it's going to result, then it's not considered shuah sheker.
Isn't the shuah on half the talis?
Yeah, but he claims kulishli. Sheinli ba pachos mechetzio. How do we come out on Heyam and Beis from Ravuna? Shua sheinli ba veinli ba pachos mechetzio. So you want to say ba means some part of it. And how did Rashi learn? Rashi learned Right, so you want to tie very nice. No, Moshe's answering nicely. Moshe wants to say that he never says in the Shvua, I make a Shvua kula shuli.
It's also obvious.
Beautiful, beautiful, very nice. Okay, so very nice, beautiful. And that's what Rashi's emphasizing over here. When Rashi says, V'nishva sheish l'bod mechetzia, that he's making a Shvua only on the chetzia, femot, kafta referach. Beautiful. Okay, I think that's good. So back into my recaps. So now what we see is that the Ritva becomes even more understandable now. And then he adds, and we could infer from this, we could infer that if someone grabs the object that is in someone else's hand, why did he grab it? Because, here the lefi is tricky. Why did he grab it? Because the other person had lied. So let's spell out the case. No longer going to use Avi because now we're going to definitively call someone a liar here. So Reuven knows that Shimon has lied in court about an object that is his. So Reuven is now able to go, and Reuven's able to go. Well, we have a Shimon in the room. So, okay, there's no Levi, right? So Reuven is allowed to go. Levi has... Am I right? So there's no Levi here. So Reuven's allowed to go and say and grab Levi lied. So Reuven's allowed to go and he's allowed to grab that which belongs to him that Levi had lied about. Back into the words of Marie Katz. In other words, Reuven's toe-face. Lefisha potter atzma. A lot of pronouns here. Because Levi had exempted himself. B'shvuah sheker shekofer lo mamon. I know that Levi cheated me out in Bezdin. Yachol zeh lishav alo d'chevet zeh shalom. So Reuven's allowed to say it's his. V'afilu b'loshen l'adam. Even with the loshen l'adam. Now here's a big mystery. These next two words. Shema yachol. I don't know what those words mean. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Yoel Shlita also doesn't know what those words mean. Okay. Tafil b'loshen l'adam. Shema yachal, I don't know what they mean. You'll come over to me afterwards. But it's clear what the kavana of the Marie Katz is. It's clear what the Marie Katz's kavana is. And that is, in such a case, he's going to be Neman. And he's allowed to lie. And the proof is a shomer chinam shenishba sheinim bershuso that makes a shvua sheinim bershuso mishum chshash milvi yishan alavaye. Can anybody, before we get into lomdus over here, can anybody tell me in pshat what is Marikat saying? What does he mean? Viraya, what's his raya? Yes, Yehuda?
He's taking his approach to an extreme case where the Shomer Chinam, since they had a previous debt, and the Shomer Chinam is taking the other guy's sheep into his Rishus and saying the sheep is mine because of this previous debt, he's making sure that it's not in his Rishus because the sheep now belongs to him.
Right, the Shomer Chinam is going to lie, even though the sheep is in his Rishus, because he knows that the Mafkid owes him that exact money. Rabosa, I'd like to point out that the Marie Katz is learning like Tosfos and not learning like the Ramban's Yesh Lefarish. The Hainu, that Tosfos had asked the question, what about, according to Abaye, who says, Migu dechashem amona chashadash vuasa, how are you going to explain Shomer? So the answer to that question is Milvi Yishana. According to Yesh Lefarish, it could very well be that Abai also holds Migu D'chashem Amona Lo Chashash Wasa. So then you don't need to say that Ukimta. But the Marie Katz, and that's how we learn B'das Rashi as well. Marie Katz is talking B'das Rashi. We assume that Rashi learns like Tosos. And that tells us we'll answer Chashin Mili Yishani Yesh Lalav, even though we say Migud Chashimona Chashin Ashwasa Bidas Abaye, which of course has implications La Halacha of whether we say Migud Chashimona Chashin Ashwasa. Before I go on in analyzing the Shita, I just remembered Shimon's not a liar. Shimon has great pshatim. So Shimon had a great pshat. Shimon pointed out something that's very, very important that I never put two and two together, that we danced around 2 or 3 months ago. This is Gishmak, when what you did 2 or 3 months ago now makes more sense. And that Shimon pointed out, we had on the top of Gimel Amabez, that Rashi had said that we say Migu Dechashim Amona Chashu Ashuasa, and Tosis went all over Rashi where he says no, we paskim Migu Dechashim Amona Lo Chashu Ashuasa. So Shimon just pointed out it's not going to work out so well in Tosis, but Shimon pointed out that that's Rashi. Obviously Tosis is going to take other things into account, as he mentions over there in Gimel Amabez. We see from Rashi that Rashi is going to be Al Pishita. So Rashi learns that Abaye holds as Ma'ari Katz is developing Migu Dechashim Amona. And he doesn't learn like the Yesh Lefarish and the Ramban. And the Drisha did somersaults to explain the Rif and the Rush. Well, maybe not the Rush, but the Rif. You mentioned the Rush, but I don't think the Rush. But the Rif did somersaults, Bedas Arif, to say that the Rif doesn't hold Migu Dechashim Amona Chash Ashwasa. The pastures is that we follow Abaye, right? Well, that's a little bit of a problem. We have Rav Nachman and Abaye. But Abaye is not contradicting Rav Nachman. We can answer. Because of Chashin in the middle of Yeshana. So it could very well be that Rashi is going to understand what comes out above Metzia. I, other Mesechtos, will have to cross the bridge when we get there. But at the end of the day, it could very well be that Rashi holds me the Chashin Mon, the Chash Ashwasa, like the Hemshech of the Sugyan above Metzia. And that will be Rashi's Shitas on Gimel Mabez that assumed that Migu Dechashimon Chash Ashwasa. Nachzor L'Nyaneinu, so the etzem words of the Ma'ari Katz. So what the Ma'ari Katz now has taught us is that you're allowed to lie, and Rashi doesn't spell this out, but Rashi makes it that you're not lying in the Shvua. According to Rashi, it's fine. Comes along Naphtali and Avi, and they do something really, really exciting. What's today's date? What's today's date? Which day of Adar is it? Vav Adar. And they found that Rav Yoel, I was struggling with Rav Yoel, whenever you have a few Rishonim that seem to be saying the same thing, you always need to ask, are they really saying the same thing? So we have, what did we have? We had Rav Haigon, the Ritva, Ma'ari Katz, Bedas Rashi, all saying the same thing, and that is that you're allowed to hold on and lie. The Ramban even said to lie b'shvua. The Rav Haigon might not have said that, but the Ramban said to lie b'shvua and say that it's yours. Why? So Rav Haigon said you're allowed to do it because of a chush bana ba'alma when it comes to mama. And the Ritva went a step further. No, Rashi took us really a step further. The Ritva went further because he said he really brought it out, but Rashi, as Ma'ari Katz points out, takes a step further to explain why it's not even a lie at all, because the object is Meshuvet. By the way, I didn't see an Achron spell this out. Tell me if it might be worth writing down, because the way we're reading Rashi really makes what seems difficult now very palpable, that it's not a lie at all. The thing was Meshuvetim. It's really mine. It's something I'm really entitled to. The question is whether Ma'ari Katz, the Ritva, and Rav Haigon are all saying the same thing. First of all, again, Rav Haigon doesn't talk about the Shur. Rav Haigon talks only about the Tefisa. Is the Ritva and the Rikatz saying the same thing? So why do I mention Vav Adar? What does it have to do with Vav Adar? So Avi and Naftali went to the library, and they looked out. Rabina spoke that today was Rav David Pavarsky's yard site. So they looked up what Rav David Pavarsky says on this Ma'ari Katz. And L'chura, you can make a Gishmak Adiyuk that Rav Yoel made. Both Rav Yoel and Rav Yaakov made this Diyuk in Ma'ari Katz. Is the Ma'ari Katz the same thing as the Ritva or not? You tell me, Rebbe Osa. Avi and Naftali, you thought about this beforehand, or you were having fun? It's like, you know, like some people have fun that you look through the yard site to see the yard site that day. It's a good sichas chulin of Talmid Chacham. So you figured we'll open Rav David Pivarsky. That's what happened.
We actually were looking for an answer for another question.
Ah, really? Beautiful.
And then
Beautiful. Yeah. It's a special schlissim. Rebel Pivarsky would be very happy if we tell him. We used to go visit the Bnei Brak trip. We would go to his son, Rebel Pivarsky, Rosh Yehudanovich. Now, Shimon went when we used to have a summer kollel here in the yeshiva. Olav Hashalom. So before we take a look, why should we take a look first? What, you tell me, no, Rabosai. You tell me. Yes, Moshe?
I think the Ritva and Maya Katz are saying the same thing.
Oh, you think they're saying the same thing. I'm looking for someone who says that they're saying different. I agree. The way I present it up until now is the same thing. You're not entitled to an opinion. You're already you're the source of everything. Yeah, go ahead, Yehuda.
It seems that the Ritva is saying that when he takes the shul, it's kedin, and the Maya Katz saying that when he takes the shul, he's lying with the shul, but we said allow him to take it.
Oh, the Ritva calls him... What's your deal? That the Ritva calls him a what?
Kedin.
Kedin mishtabeya. Yeah. The Marie Katz lav dafka, is he saying he's doing a kedin? Yeah. So if he's not doing a kedin, how could he do it?
Then we already established this.
And a fuch in Rashi, you could argue that it's kedin. Because it's the chasam mishar. I like your deal. That's true. The Ritva said black and white kedin mishtabeya. And we were struggling with why. So one was we said with Rav Haigon is that's chushbon abalma. That makes it a shua sheker. According to Rashi, it's sharper. I'm very happy about this diuk in Rashi. According to Rashi, it's sharper. It's because that the talis is meshubitim. I think I want to put this next sefer. I hope to work on his bum. I think I want to put that in the sefer. It's a gishmak diuk. I don't recall seeing anybody point this out. It's mamish kedin. Mamish kedin. So you can learn that as being lepshan the ritva. But where do you see that in Marie Katz Nakedin? I don't see it. Yes, Avram?
I'm just quoting Raftali, where he came and pointed out to me, where he says, according to the Marie Katz, it's only after he swears he lies full.
Very good. That's Rav Yaakov's deal. Let's go shlav l'shlav. Comes along Rav Yaakov Lerner Shlita, and he points out that in Marie Katz's case is what happened was, is Levi was a liar. Levi was mamish a liar. He lied in court. He swore and he lied. So then he says that you're allowed to. You don't have the Ritva's expansion. The Ritva's case was, if I know it's mine, I'm allowed to lie. It was only when it already took place in court that he lied. Now we can make two deductions. Rav Yoel takes Rav Yaakov's diuk, and he now goes a step further. Says Rav Yoel, it could very well be that the only time it's mutter is in a case of where you don't have any other recourse. Because Bezdin already awarded it to Levi falsely. And here Rav Yoel is mechaven to Rav David Pivarsky. Take a look at paragraph Ahainu on the bottom of Kuf Samach Gimel, Le'ilui Nishmaso, Rebbe of our Rabbeim, Vahainu, the Af Al Pi De La Olam Ein Adam Yochel Asos Gvia Me'atzmo. Zehu Dafke Kishiyochel Adayim Ligvos Ayidei Bezdin. In a case in which, a person will not be able to do it by himself because he can't go to Bezdin. Levi was kofer beBezdin. Shapir yochel ze lasos gvia meatzmoi. So then, in such a case, you're able to do a gvia by yourself. V'lo aviz eshua sheker. Then it's not a shua sheker. Kivan debikai gavin a yochel likvos meatzav abe mishalo. Then he gets involved with the Rivash that I put in the Marmon Kos, which I didn't prepare to discuss with you today. And that is, so it goes like this. It could be the Marie Katz's heter is actually limited. Marie Katz's heter is not as expansive as the Ritva. The Marie Katz is saying that once I no longer have an issue in Beis Din, so then I have no recourse in Beis Din, then Rav David Pavarsky Tainis, then the halacha is that's going to be mutter. However, if that's not the case, then in such a case, it will be aser. The only thing is, Rav David does not explain to us why is it not a shvua sheker. I understand that it could be normally it falls into the category of avodin shtil and afshe. And here I'm allowed to grab, where Rav David Pavarsky doesn't explain, is why is it, then he says, v'lo avizeh shvua sheker, then in such a case it's not a shvua sheker. So I'd like to tell you a little bit of a chidush. It's definitely connected to something we've discussed about bays on the bays. And it's not half baked, it's a tenth baked. And the Talmidim, Emir Tzashem, when you learn with your Talmidim, maybe you'll be able to develop, either you'll cut out the one out of the ten and just decide it's wrong, or you'll work on it a little bit more, maybe you'll get it closer to a fuller ten. Shvua Sheker is a complicated thing. How do you qualify something as a Shvua Sheker? What exactly qualifies as a Shvua Sheker? We already discussed that there are times that Shvua Sheker means that it's a Shvua Sheker vis-a-vis Beis Din. In the Sugya of Ben Hanis, he spoke about Shvua Shav in Beis Din, Shvua Sheker in Beis Din. If this guy already did a Shvua Sheker, so then in such a case, if my Shvua is better than his, and Beis Din accepted his Shvua as valid, if I have a recourse where I can make a shvua which is more valid than him, then it could be that in such a case it's not considered sheker. In other words, just like I'm allowed to be tofes, it no longer has hagdara of shvua sheker. Maybe that's what he's driving at, but I'm not sure. Either way, it's a fascinating deal because of my recats. You hear the deal, Josh? You hear the deal, Shaya? It's a beautiful deal. The only thing is, I'm not convinced, I'm torn. I think the diuk in the Mari Katz's words are correct. On the other hand, I have a tzarachiyun gadol. And the tzarachiyun gadol, at the end of the day, is that the svara that the Mari Katz was starting from, Bidas Rashi, seems to indicate not like Rav David Zatzal. Dahainu. What's the starting point, Bidas Rashi? Josh, what's the starting point? Why is it not a shua sheker in Rashi?
It's a
shibud. So, who cares about whether the guy lied beforehand or not in court? Is this objectively a shua sheker? Not because it's relative to what happened in court. Objectively, it's not a shua. And so therefore, I'm sure Rav David Pavarsky would be happy with us. Therefore, I question whether Rav David Pavarsky's diuk in the Mari Katz is correct. The fact that the Mari Katz chose a case to say, you should know if this happens, you're allowed to do this. It could be that l'chatchila, he doesn't want us to stam start going into court and grabbing and lying and so on and so forth. But Meikur Nadina would be mutter even in other cases as well. Rav David Pavarsky wanted to make a machlokis between Mari Katz and the Ritva. The Ritva says it's mutter whether that guy lied in court or not. And he wants to say maybe it's halacha only when you don't have any recourse in Beis Din. But the Mari Katz is coming off of Rashi. And the pashtus of Rashi is it's mutter. Pashas Rashi is mutter because I didn't lie at all. It's not that when there's no other recourse, the Pashas Rashi that's mutter entirely. So therefore, we have two diukim going in opposite directions. The Mari Katz. On the one hand, the reason why he says it's mutter is because Rashi had said it's not a shua sheker at all. On the other hand, Rav David Pavarsky has a diuk. That the case that he gave was only when that guy lied. And I would like to be madchik, possibly, that maybe the reason why the Mari Katz gave that case, the Mari Katz wants to discourage people from doing this, even if it's mutter, because that at the end of the day, there is vigilanteism that's involved. But he's saying, you should know, if this guy already lied in Beis Din, then it's mutter. It's even mutter even in the other case, mi'ikur d'dina. But we don't want to. We want things to go through Beis Din. But if Beis Din the whole system of Beis Din has been corrupted, so then in such a case, then you'd be allowed to do mi'ikur d'dina. That would be my natty of how to read Mari Katz. as opposed to the way the great Rav David Pavarsky Zatzal read it. So at the end of the day, this all we're not learning Rav David Pavarsky, we're learning Rashi. We're learning Shita Mikubetzes. Really Rashi, not even Shita Mikubetzes, really Rashi. With Rav David Pavarsky, the way when Rav David Pavarsky begins to analyze, we begin to understand more. We begin to understand more. Things that we didn't uncover when we read Rashi the first time, we begin to uncover much more what's going on in Rashi, and then ultimately we begin to decide some of the sveikos that we had. Like, for example, Joshua's mesupik whether to read Rashi as Rashi saying that this is what this guy's thing or it's mutter. After Marie Katz gets through the Rashi, I'm pretty convinced that the original way we read Rashi is correct. That's mutter to do. And we had a suffix, but without Marie Katz, we could have banged our heads against the Rashi for 48 hours. We never would have gotten more without the Marie Katz giving us his angle. And the same thing with Rav David Pavarsky. We could have read the Marie Katz a bunch of times, but without Rav David Pavarsky, there are certain things that we wouldn't have been able to understand. Now, I really wanted to do the Rimigash. We have to figure out, Mirza Shah, how many Talmidim did the Rimigash in Seder? Hands high. Let's take a vote. What would you like tomorrow to do during Shir time? Would you like to do the Rimigash and the Balamor and the Ramban? Or just the Rimigash? How many people would like to do and the Balamor and the Ramban? Say, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to do the Rimigash, and then we'll do the Rimigash as Shir. So we're going to have, and then we'll have Leinin Chabura on the Balamor and the Ramban. Okay? That's what we'll probably start Shir Mirzeshem earlier. I'd like to try to get in Halacha today because we really didn't get in Halacha in a couple of days.